Bannisters from the Basement.
Hi, this is Reggie Bannister, and you're with Monsters in the Basement.
Ah!
What? Ah! From the Basement? Oh my God. It's bad enough that they're in there, but they're actually, whoa, no. Monsters from the Basement. Oh my.
Hello, everybody. This is James Downing in Chattanooga, Tennessee for Monsters from the Basement. We're at the Full Moon Tattoo and Horror Convention, and one of the great things about this convention is we've got all the Phantasm guys here, and I'm at the table with Reggie Bannister. How you doing today, Reggie?
Hey, I'm doing great, James, and hi to everybody out there. We're having a blast. Where are you?
Now, I know you've acted, and you do music, too. When you first started, did you have one or the other that you were really seriously wanting to get into?
Well, you know, that's really been, it's been tough to kind of separate those things because you really have to pay attention to one or the other. But I've managed to kind of mesh things over the years. I've been singing all my life, started playing guitar when I was 15. And of course, started working in little like coffee houses and stuff like that. At the same time, I was all through school, I took theater. And so, by the time I was about 15 and a half, I got in this group called the Young Americans. And by golly, we all of a sudden we ended up on the Bing Crosby TV special. Oh, wow, indeed. But, you know, I was just a kid, so it was like natural for me. I went, well, this is the way it's supposed to go. So, early on I was in a lot of musical groups, and we did a lot of variety TV shows, Red Skelton, George Burns, Hollywood Palace, all kinds of stuff, Stevie Wonder, Sonny, all those guys. We were on a hullabaloo with the Rolling Stones, of course. Yeah. So I was pretty used to the whole entertainment thing, especially musically. And then, in about 72, I think, I went back to do some theater at in Long Beach, California, Long Beach City College. And I was doing this play, or I was doing a lot of plays, actually, but Don and Don Coscarelli and Paul Pepperman, his producer at the time, saw me doing working in a play, and they said, hey, we're doing this movie. Would you come and do this character? And I went, sure, why not? So, and that's how I started working with Don. I worked on his first film, and Angus was in his first film as well. Yeah, pretty cool.
When you first read the script for Phantasm, what was your initial reaction?
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, James, there was no script. Don says there was, but he only had a couple of copies and he misplaced them or something. And so, but I know that every time, because we shot it over a long period of time, the idea was if you had no money then, you'd go and rent your camera equipment on Friday, and then you'd hold on to it till Monday because they were closed on Sunday, so you get an extra day, wow, for free. And so there was a lot of weekend shooting. But for me, I was playing a lot of music at that time as well. And so I was working clubs, so most of the time when they shot me, they'd have to catch me somewhere between Monday and Thursday. This sounds weird, I know, but that's kind of the way the thing was put together. And as far as the script goes, whenever I would show up for scenes, Don would give me sides that looked like they were just printed up just then, just before I got there or whatever. And he'd go, well, Reg, what do you think about this line? Do you think Reg would say this? Or how would you? And so we were just really flying by the seat of our pants. And when I saw the film in a theater, I was surprised at the how it turned out. It was really amazing.
Now, what do you think it is about the series that, it's kind of gained a cult status, I guess. What do you think it is about the films that has done that?
Yeah, well, there's elements. I think there's a couple of elements here that I think are very attractive to genre film watchers. There's a sci-fi element, and then there's the horror element, and then there's the psychological element. And I think, you know, that combo and the fact that the characters are so, they're just like kind of everyday kind of people. It's like watching a family go through the space gates, that, you know, I mean, and you know, they walk through and then all of a sudden they're somewhere else. but you really identify with them. You really identify, I think, with my character, Reggie, the kind of everyman man. Who all of a sudden has to go, okay, I know what to do with that guy. We're going to throw him, drive a stake through his goddamn, you know, heart. And at that point, he becomes very defensive of his friends. And I think that's all interesting. I think that pulls people in, kind of gets inside them. And I think really that's been the success of the series.
There was a gentleman here earlier that was talking to you and brought up the subject. Will there be a Phantasm 5?
Wow. That would be cool, wouldn't it? You know, we talk about it all the time. Myself, Don Coscarelli, Michael Baldwin, you know, all of us that are here, we talk about the possibilities. And, we want to do it. We're ready to do it. And, you know, I've always been kind of a vibe kind of guy. You know, I pick up on what's going on around me, and I think we're going to get to do it sooner than later. And so everybody keep your fingers crossed.
Now let's talk about your music a little bit, your current music. You've got some CDs here on your table.
Right. I actually, like early in my musical career, like I was talking about, I was in a group called the Greenwood County Singers, and that group actually did like four albums just when I was a kid. So again, here we go, you know, it's just natural. It's the way things go for me. I know it's weird, but... But anyway, about 1996, a guy that I knew from the Chicago area approached me and said, "Hey, you know, I'd like you to do a solo album, you know, of just all your stuff, because I've been writing ever since I was a kid as well." And I thought, well, that's a really great opportunity to be able to get my stuff, my stuff out there, you know. So. He said, "Yeah, I'd like to produce that." And I went, "Oh, cool." So I went and lived with him for about 3 months and wrote a bunch of stuff while I was there. Oh, yeah, actually, I felt like a troll. I was living in his basement. But it was fun because I didn't know who was going to be playing on the album. We went to a club in Aurora, Illinois. And when I first came in, it was like an open mic night. And there was a band on stage, and they had there was a drummer, a bass player, and a lead guitar player. And they were bad. I couldn't believe it. I was in the club, I was playing pool, and all of a sudden I turned around and went, "Man, these guys are great." And I looked over at my friend Terry, the producer, and I went, "I want those guys." And so it was amazing, James. It was like one of those ironic twists of fate. Yeah. And so I got those guys, and we started working on my stuff. We started rehearsing in the basement, and then I wrote some other stuff. As a matter of fact, on that first album, which is called Reggie B and the Jizwailin' Yeah Doggies, that's a whole other story. But yeah, on that album, while I was there, I wrote "Have You Seen It," which has that pattern, that phantasm pattern in it, that da 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 da, yeah. And then I turned it into kind of a heavy metal tune, and so Don loved it, and we put it in eventually in Phantasm 4 at the end. Yeah. So anyway, that was that first album, and then in the second album, I always run into band guys that are clear across the country. I live in Southern California. I ran into some guys in Pittsburgh, some really great guys, they wanted to make an album. They wanted to play behind my music as well. So I moved out there for a while, and we produced an album called Naked Truth with the Reggie Bannister Band. And so we did that in 2007, and that's been moving along pretty well. So it's just, you know, like I said, happy, silly, fun twist of fate that I ran into my albums, my solo albums.
Now, Do you have a website on the internet where people can buy your stuff at?
I do. It's actually, if anybody needs to contact me, there's always reggiebannister.com. And so I respond to that in email. But if you want to buy the albums, and I think actually CD Baby, and I think they're actually physically out of my first album, and I got to get them duplicated. But the second album is certainly available at cdbaby.com. Yeah.
And are you on Facebook or anything like that?
I am. I think I'm maxed out on friends. It's hard to keep up with. But, that's an important way to, stay in contact. You can still leave messages and stuff. It doesn't, and my site's pretty fun because, of all the stuff that gets posted and stuff. It's a good way to keep up with a lot of stuff that's going on. We were talking about this convention earlier, and, people that I'm going to be at their convention, of course, we always post that on the site. And then this last year has been crazy for films that I've done over the last couple of years coming out. There's like seven of them. Wow, indeed. And one of them came out in November of last year, and it's called Satan Hates You, which is pretty much truth in advertising. And Angus is in that picture, as well as Michael Berryman and Debbie Rashawn. It's a terrific picture. And then there was one in December that came out called Psychic Experiment. Another one called Quiet Ones that came out in, I think, April of this year. One called Abolition that I think is on video on demand right now. And there's one called Primitive. That's going to be very cool. That's coming out in October. And I play a hypnotherapist that accidentally unleashes the id of one of my clients. And it actually becomes a creature. It's very scary. And there's one that's going to go to DVD and be on VOD in October as well called Bloody, Bloody Bible Camp. That's great. I play a priest named Father Richard Cummings. Read Dick there. And I take these kids to this Bible camp, and it's like 1984. 7 years earlier, there was a massacre. Oh, my goodness. And the massacre was perpetrated by Sister Mary Chopper, who's like this tall nun in a habit and a devil's mask. And Sister Mary Chopper is played by Tim Sullivan, the director of 2001 Maniacs. So, of course, we have a transvestite serial killer, And then Jesus actually comes in to save the night towards the end of the film. And Jesus is played by Ron Jeremy. Plant your tongue firmly in the side of your cheek. And we just try and poke fun. Hopefully we've managed to offend everybody. But you'll have to see it at Bloody, Bloody Bible Camp.
Be on the lookout for that one. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, I appreciate you taking some time this morning talking with us.
Sure. Thank you, James. And to everybody out there, I hope I get to meet you soon. All right.
Hey, this is A. Michael Baldwin, and you've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James again. I've moved down from Reggie's table down to another star of the Phantasm series, Michael Baldwin. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks very much.
You had a fun time in Chattanooga this weekend?
Absolutely.
When did you first get interested in acting?
Well, I was probably 9 years old or so, and I had been doing voiceovers for animated cartoons that my father was producing and directing. So I had been working already for a few years even then. And one day I just said to my parents I wanted to be a professional actor and pursue it in a real way, and I wanted to have an agent, and I wanted to audition for real parts, and they said, okay, I lived in Los Angeles, and my parents were both in the business, and so it wasn't too much of a stretch to make that happen. And it wasn't long after that that I met Don Coscarelli at a cattle call for a film that we eventually made called Kenny and Company. And there you go, off to the races.
Yeah. Well, Reggie said there really wasn't a script for Phantasm, but when you first found out about it, what did you think about the storyline?
Well, there was a script, but it wasn't very lengthy. I think I got about 60 pages. I don't know, it's a long time ago. It's hard to remember what I thought when I first read it, but it seemed fun. You know, we had worked together already in the past, and Reggie also was in Kenny and Company, so we knew each other. And, you know, filmmaking is a fun process, especially if you're a kid, especially when you don't have the responsibility of, you know, trying to spend all that money. So, you know, we had a good time. It was obviously it was going to be some kind of horror movie, and it was a real fun, about a year it took. It was a fun time.
Have any memories of filming it?
Of course, many. Can you be more specific?
Any memories of doing any of the special effects or anything?
Well, all the special effects in Phantasm are in-camera practical special effects, as we say. And so, you know, there was no digital technology back then at all, really, at all. So, you know, it's silver spheres being thrown by baseball players or by pitchers, and it's spheres on string, and it's yellow blood and chopping off fingers and prosthetic things and mechanical bugs. And so, we worked with all that stuff, and it's fun.
Yeah, like today, if you want to do something, you just add it in. But back then, if you wanted to do it, you made it and did it.
You had to create it and shoot it. You don't get to fix it in post. In 1979, anyway.
Now, what do you think it is about Phantasm that made it gain its cult status it's got?
Well, I really think that it's the relationship between the three protagonists. I think that if you were a young man of just the right age, anywhere between 10 and 16, and you happened to see Phantasm for the first time in a drive-in, probably, that you most likely related to the relationship between Mike and Jody and their best friend Reggie. And it's that triplet that really binds the whole movie together. It's the heart of the film, is the relationship between those three characters. And that's why, in my opinion, it has legs. There are plenty of horror movies out there that were made then and that are made today that come and go and are quite forgettable. They might be scary, they might give you a jolt, but they rarely have the kind of chemistry between the main characters that makes something last. And it's that relationship, in my opinion, that makes Phantasm a standout. There are other things, obviously. It's also hugely creative in terms of its weirdness, and, you know, silver spheres had never been seen before or since, and pretty creative death machine. So, you know, add to that the incredible Angus Scrimm, and I mean, what you got is a classic. So we're just kind of lucky that we stumbled into something that 35 years later people are still talking about. So we certainly didn't know at the time that's what we were making, but, you know, here we are, and still talking about it.
Are you currently working on anything? Or?
You know, I just finished a new film just a few months ago called Brutal. And people can go to mynameisbrutal.com and check out the trailer. It should be released in some months, probably in early 2013. And Brutal is the story of a family man, businessman, who finds himself ensnared in the evil web of a crazy killer. And it's pretty much a straight-up torture movie. It's hardcore, you know, pretty badass.
Those are the best kind.
Well, I hope people will keep an eye out for it. It's called Brutal. And once again, you can go to mynameisbrutal.com and follow its progression.
Now, I know you're on Facebook, and people can send you friend requests and stuff on that.
Yeah, they sure can. You know, I'm pretty available there, and I try to pay attention to the fans there once a week or so. And so you can friend me there. That's not a problem.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time with me this morning.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Don Coscarelli, director of Phantasm, Bubba Hotep, and the new movie John Dies at the End, and you've just entered Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. We're still at the Full Moon Tattoo and Horror Convention in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I'm here at the table now with
Don Coscarelli.
Now, Don is the director of Phantasm, Beastmaster, and several other films, but this weekend he's here with the cast of the Phantasm movies. Have you had a good time here in Chattanooga this weekend?
Oh, just a great time. The people are so nice, and the city's just been wonderful to us. All of us from the Phantasm team have just had a great time.
Well, what year did Phantasm come out?
The original Phantasm was released in 1979 by a company called Avco Embassy. I think Phantasm was one of their first horror releases, and it was very successful and saved the company from financial problems. And then we're very proud to have done that so that Avco Embassy could go on and release some other classic horror films subsequently, such as The Fog, The Howling, Scanners, and other great horror titles. So me and the other Phantasm boys here always feel proud about the fact that we saved the studio.
Very cool. Now, when you first saw the script for the movie, what was your initial reaction?
Well, actually a pride, because I wrote the screenplay, and it was a real struggle to cobble together a story that had some scares in it, but at the same time kept the audience guessing. And it was really conceived as a mystery and as a scare show. And I think that probably why fans still 30 years later are talking about the movie are some really incredible performances by some wonderful actors, including Reggie Bannister, Michael Baldwin, and Angus Scrimm, who are all here with me today at the Chattanooga show.
Now, I spoke with Reggie earlier, and he said that y'all had done some work before Phantasm.
Yeah, we'd done two movies together. One's a movie that's never seen the light of day called Jim the World's Greatest, but Reggie was in that. Then we did a warm family comedy called Kenny and Company, which 20th Century Fox released. And after that, and Michael Baldwin had also starred in that, and we made Phantasm, which was our third movie working together, Reg and I.
Phantasm has kind of gained a cult status, I believe. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I'm not sure that I'm the person to ask that question, because 30 years ago when we made Phantasm, I had no clue, no inkling, that we had done anything more than make a cool little horror movie. You know, the fans have just rallied around it. I think the fact that it has these wonderful performances, certainly an iconic horror performance by Angus Scrimm in it, who is a man who has literally lived in our fans' nightmares for the 30 years since it was released, had something to do with it. I think it was also the fact that it was a very simple story that we managed to tell well.
Now, like I said, you directed several other films, including Beastmaster, and I know you're here this weekend also promoting a new film you've got coming out.
I do. I just finished directing a film entitled John Dies at the End. And John Dies at the End is a very interesting movie based on a successful novel by an author named David Wong. And John Dies at the End has a terrific cast also, in addition to a couple of amazing unknown actors. Angus Scrimm makes an appearance. The co-star of the film is Paul Giamatti, who's been in some great pictures, including Sideways and American Splendor. We've also got Clancy Brown from Highlander and Starship Troopers. We got Doug Jones from Hellboy. We've got Glenn Turman was in the In Treatment series, and he won an Emmy for that. A lot of really great talent, and it's a really trippy, strange story about essentially about this street drug. On the street, they call it the soy sauce, and it allows users to drift between dimensions. But we find in the story that some of these users are coming back different, And pretty soon a silent, otherworldly invasion is underway. And it falls to our two heroes, Dave and John, to stop this invasion and to save humanity. And the question is can our two heroes save humanity? And the answer is probably not. So it's got some humor, and it's got some great horror in it, and some wonderful special effects by Bob Kurtzman, who created a couple of fantastic monsters for us. John Dies at the End, coming out in February of 2013.
We'll definitely be looking forward to that. Do you have anything else you're working on?
No, right now I'm just busy promoting John Dies at the End, and I've been making appearances at film festivals. We premiered John Dies at the End earlier this year at Sundance Film Festival, and then moved out to some other amazing ones. We played at South by Southwest in Austin, and then last month John Dies at the End was invited up to the Toronto Film Festival, so we've been moving around and showing it. In fact, later this year I get to go show it to some at some festivals in Europe, in London and Sitges, Spain. Really excited to see how the audience responds to John Dies at the End.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. And I want to say thank you for taking some time talking with me this morning.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wish you the best of luck with the new movie.
All righty. Thank you so much.
How long do I have to stay in the basement?
As long as you want to. All right, everybody. I know this is a minute you've been waiting for. I've moved down to the table of the tall man himself, Mr. Angus Scrimm. How you doing today, sir?
James, I'm doing fine. I'm meeting a lot of wonderful people from Tennessee and Georgia and Alabama and everywhere around this area. It's been great fun. Even Cincinnati and Cleveland have shown up.
Now, this is the first time you've been in this area?
Yes, I was in Kentucky about 3-4 years ago, but that's the closest. And, of course, I was in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Mad Monster Convention last March with Linda Blair and Rutger Hauer and a number of other people from Hollywood.
Yeah, we were there at that show. We met you there.
We didn't do a show.
Yeah.
Did we? Is this my second?
Well, no, I met you there, but I didn't get a chance to talk to you.
So this is my first appearance on Monsters in the Basement.
Yeah.
How long do I have to stay in the basement?
As long as you want to. Now, I know Phantasm is, in my opinion, one of the best horror movies that ever came out. What did you think about it when you first read the script?
I loved it. I had never had a chance to do an out-and-out horror movie before. And I was thrilled to get to play a Karloff Lugosi-type villain. Mm-hmm. So I loved it. And making it was arduous. We did it over the course of a full year. It was a low-budget independent movie of its day. So we filmed on weekends because Don could rent a camera on Friday evening and keep it until Monday morning for the price of one day.
Yeah.
And that's how he was able to pull it off much more cheaply.
Did you have a lot of input into the character of the tall man?
My corporeal body, of course. I think Don had a certain concept of the tall man in his head, because I remember that he sort of spoon-fed me the first scene we did, which was a scene in which the tall man claps his hand on Jody's shoulder and says, "The funeral is about to begin, sir." But as we went on, of course, more and more, the tall man himself moved in on me and started playing the role without any need of a lot of instruction or direction or help for me. Any interference for me he didn't want.
Now, what do you think it is about Phantasm that's kept it going so many years?
It's just a darned entertaining film, don't you think? I think Don was young and new to horror and invested it with everything that had ever scared him. He put up right up there on the screen, and it's filled with one surprise after another, one remarkably creative invention in terms of ideas, cinematic ideas. It's just an entertaining film. It's very scary. It's also very funny. It's just one heck of an entertainment. And it's succeeded in entertaining people ever since it was first released in 1979. I'm delighted. What is that now? Going on four decades almost.
Yep. Now, I talked to Don earlier, and he said that y'all just finished a film together called John Dies at the End. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
John Dies at the End is based on a novel by David Wong, which is unusually creative in its own right. It's about two boys who discover a new street drug called soy sauce, which takes you to different dimensions and utterly turns your life upside down. And they discovered that through soy sauce, there are forces, evil forces, that want, of course, to take over the world. And only they stand between the world's total dissolution and safety. And they're ill-equipped to do anything about it, but they struggle and try. It's fun. It has a great cast. Chase Williamson and Rob Mays play the two boys, two strikingly handsome young fellows with all kinds of cinematic savvy and acting talent, who worked wonderfully together. They're like a young Jimmy Stewart and Henry Fonda. And Paul Giamatti, the great Paul Giamatti, has a leading role. And any number of character actors whom you'll recognize when you see them, who are first rate.
Who are some of the actors that influenced you when you were growing up?
Oh, I was lucky. I saw all the greats of the 1930s, and they were almost godlike to me. William Powell, Cary Grant, Ronald Coleman, Claudette Colbert, Garbo, Dietrich, Joan Crawford, Betty Davis, Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney, all the greats.
When you were younger, was acting something you always wanted to do?
I think at the age of 3, I saw Richard Dix in Cimarron, which, oddly enough, was the Academy Award winner that year as Best Picture. So I had good taste. And I admired Dick so much. He looked a little bit like my dad. And I thought, I want to be him. I want to be up there doing what he's doing. That looks like fun.
Yeah. Very cool. What are some of your favorite films that you've seen over the years?
Oh, such a profusion. Hollywood has turned out some immortal stuff, some just fascinating entertainment. In terms of films, right off the bat, let's see. Gunga Din, the George Stevens film, and Stagecoach, the John Ford film with John Wayne, are both of 1939. Wizard of Oz, obviously. Wonder Bar, some of the great musicals, the Astaire Rogers musicals, the Eleanor Powell musicals. Anything with Bogart, especially in his years after he became a superstar, is quite wonderful to have and have not, and Treasure of Sierra Madre, and obviously Casablanca. I'm sort of in agreement with everybody else in criticism. I think Casablanca is the perfect, great film of all time as an entertainment.
All right. And I know there's a lot of Phantasm fans listening to this particular interview. Would you like to say anything to them?
All right.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time this morning talking with me.
Thank you, James. And may I come out of the basement now?
Yeah, you're free to leave now.
Thank you.